Good afternoon, and it is actually afternoon for us here, and this is Chemical World. I am Kenna Crampton, and I'm joined with
Mugsy Fay. Happy Monday, February 9th, or so the calendar says, but the weather out there has me a bit confused.
Yes, definitely. And yeah, like I said, I have that like springtime anxiety. I don't know why I get that, but it's probably just like a changing of the seasons that I get. But there is supposed to be, never mind, we're not going to talk about the weather. There's too much to go, but yeah, it's beautiful outside. It is really, it's so hard, like we've talked about before, to like not enjoy how nice it is.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I know we need more moisture, but.
Yeah, and I don't, it's interesting. I wouldn't have necessarily described it as anxiety, but I do feel like I get this kind of like buzzing feeling in my body at springtime. And I just, it's always like that feeling of graduating high school in May. Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't know. There's just something I wish as adults we could like have that same feeling of like school's out and going into summer. But like my body always still has that feeling. And I'm, you know, a person who.
It's like the Sunday scaries. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, and that's very similar. And I'm, you know, a person that doesn't really care for stability and routine. It's not really my strong suits. So I really like to, you know, travel a lot. And I just feel like, yeah, when it's warming up, I really get that itch. And I'm sure a lot of us do, to like be on the river and all these things. And I mean, I've been really itching to be snowboarding, but it's more like brushboarding out there right now.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, hopefully, knock on wood, we get some winter here eventually. Definitely feeling like, you know, they say, when hell freezes over, it's more like when Earth turns to fire. Y'all know what I'm talking about, but we won't get too into that today, you know, because I feel like, you know, coming out of yesterday's Super Bowl and just everything that's happened already in 2026, it's been really scary. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the prevailing message is that the only thing stronger than hate is love.
Yeah.
And so though it can feel strange, and I've been, you know, saying this to everyone, too, that like even just surviving is resisting right now. Mm-hmm. And every breath is revolutionary. And if we can find happiness in the face of all the fear and hatred out there, you know, that's how it's like that old expression of what is it? But if we give in, they win, right? Mm-hmm. Like if we give into the fear, if we give into the hatred, our enemies win. And so if we just keep surviving and keep loving, we're still fighting, even if it doesn't really feel like it every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What a performance. Oh, my God. That was so great. I loved it so much.
Oh.
And yeah.
I guess I don't want to spoil it for anyone who maybe hasn't seen it yet. But
yeah,
it was phenomenal.
Well, and I guess, I mean, if you haven't seen it, then I'm sorry. I mean, I'm going to say, like, because I was thinking about this before we got here, just how, because everyone was like, oh my God, Bad Bunny, it's so controversial almost, you know, but it's like, it's not at all. And like, I remember the first Super Bowl of the last first Trump presidency, that it was Lady Gaga that performed. And so, yeah, like seeing her last night was like, it was so good. And I like, that was probably the last one I've really like watched.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you haven't seen the Super Bowl halftime show yet, pause now, go watch it, come back. But yeah, the Gaga reveal, like I was losing it. I was very excited ever since Bad Bunny announced it that he was gonna be at the Super Bowl. I was very excited to see it. An amazing performance, an amazing set. But yeah,
and
the Gaga reveal. Oh, is that? We were like, this is somebody really famous, but you know me and faces.
Yeah.
Weirdly, I'm like a savant though. Usually actors and stuff I can really recognize, but you know, a lot of folks, like, as they've aged,
Tristan, I think, was the one who called it first. I was like, oh wow, you called that really fast. He's like, oh my God, Ricky Martin. So yeah,
now I'm gonna have to go rewatch again.
Yeah,
but I was gonna do that anyway.
Yeah. Totally worth it.
Such a stunning performance.
It was so inspirational. And then I guess the kid that he gave the Grammy to was supposed to it was either Liam, or it was supposed to represent Liam.
Oh, interesting.
The kid that in the bunny hat, just saying for other people,
that's
if
cool.
You don't know who Liam is, who was detained by ICE of the 5-year-old. So
yeah,
pretty cool. What a cool guy. He is incredible. And then like on the heels of him winning all of those Grammys, it was really special. So
yeah. And the Grammy speeches will speak for me. I won't say all the things that were said at the Grammys, but just a really beautiful theme and golden thread in a lot of those speeches that night. And very cool to see, you know, just so much active resistance happening from the streets of Minneapolis and Los Angeles and Chicago and New Orleans, all over the country, all the protesting we've been doing here locally to, you know,
high school
so many celebrities and everyone coming out. I also thought it was cool. You know, I saw Jessica Alba on the stage, and that was like Pedro Pascal was back there too. And I was talking with Pete, about my fiance, about how there was that big, I don't know if people are familiar, but there was like a big uproar over not having appropriate Hispanic representation in film after this woman had been cast for this Hispanic part. And so it was just like, you know, this really cool moment of Hispanic representation. And then, of course, I loved, you know, the very end is so powerful of Bad Bunny's performance, where he's coming out and he's listing all the North American countries.
And South America.
And South America.
Yeah, he started with Chile and went all the way up to Canada. Yeah.
Yeah. And just like, because we are all Americans, right? And I think that's the, you know, I mean, thing that bugs me the most when people, when if I don't know, to me, I don't understand why there was ever any controversy about Bad Bunny at the Super Bowl. But it's a,
yeah,
it's a really annoying thing that people don't realize Puerto Rico is an American protectorate. I mean, I lived in New Mexico for years, and it's wild how many people I know in America and Canada who don't realize that New Mexico is part of the United States.
Whoa.
Which
I didn't
is,
know that.
Yeah. So, you know, there's just a lot of misunderstanding out there. And I was texting my fiance this morning about the Bad Bunny performance, and I realized, you know, that there's that scene where it's like it looks and feels like everyone's out there dancing in the streets and there's cars out. And that was 100% my experience in Old Town San Juan, Puerto Rico, on a Saturday night. Was like the streets were just flooded with people. Everyone's dancing. And I've never like felt more safe in a group of that many people. Like, I have social anxiety, many of us do, and I tend to get really nervous in large crowds, and especially as, you know, a woman, especially being alone in cities, whatever the case may be. And I just felt so safe in San Juan. And when I was texting my fiance this morning, I'm like, I guess that's the difference between the United States and Puerto Rico, is I actually felt safe in cities in Puerto Rico, which was kind of an interesting little paradox there. But anyway, amazing Super Bowl performance. And yeah, very just cool moment of just message and moment of unity and solidarity. And we are all in this together, and we're all, we I'm not going to say should, but we can all choose love.
And a reminder that there are more of us than there are of them. And that, like, the people that, like, the president represents is actually a very small portion of, well, the country, billionaires, which is obviously a very small portion of the country. But I also like to remind people that, like, the amount of people that voted in the 2024 election is not a representation of the actual country anyway, you know. So I just think, like, he doesn't represent, like, people who believe in what he is doing and what he is for, even, like, and still stand by him, is a very small portion of people. So I just, you know, I think it was like 4 million people that watched the their halftime show, which that's less than like the country of New Zealand, I think. So, you know, I mean, like, yeah, there were other people that tuned out, but like the amount of people that tuned in and were watching it was way more. There is more love out there than hate. And it just gets scary because you hear more about the hate, especially with the news and 24-hour news cycle and whatever. But anyway.
Yeah. And I think I've said it before, and then I'll digress away from politics. But, you know, a reminder, too, that, like, even though I don't always feel like I can understand this, I mean, I guess that's the point. I don't know why people vote for Trump. Right. And that's not really my business. And so even though it can be hard, like, I just want to make sure that, like, our community knows that, like, love everyone. We love each everyone. And it's really not our business who people voted for.
Just like it's none of our business what people do in their bedroom.
Exactly. And so, you know, I think a lot of our community members did vote for Trump. I think a lot of people might still support him. And I won't pretend to understand their rationale by that. But I also don't want to judge that, especially because I don't understand it, you know. And I just feel like, you know, our community is pretty liberal, but there have been moments recently of people feeling alienated because of that. And so regardless of who you voted for, regardless of your political affiliation, regardless of where you fall on gun control or women's health or, you know, border control any of these things. Like, we're all Americans. We're all in this together. And we're all pretty nice in the grocery store, right? So, like,
yeah,
we got to come together as a community and not fall for the hate traps and fear mongering, regardless of what side of the aisle you fall on, or if you're in a completely another building where we're still all Americans.
Yeah. I hope it didn't come off like I was being hateful towards anybody.
No, not at all. I just want, I just always like to clarify that, because I think we, you know, may not realize when we're going off on one side. And
I just feel like, I think right now with what is happening, when you're, if depending on what kind of news you're consuming, and some people are consuming a different type of news than we are, and I think that that's what we have to understand. Why they don't find an issue with what is happening is because they're not actually seeing the truth. But that might be my own opinion. So
yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot. There's a lot there's of different lot. Messaging.
And
out there.
what it comes down to is that it's really important for public media to be available for people. And that is what it really comes down to, especially in these days with, you know, the CPB funding probably not going to go through this year. So just saying that, like, yeah, let's keep up with the public media and independent media, and support your local
media. Radio
yeah,
station. And public media for all, and representation for all.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we have been okay, you might not catch this thread, but we're talking about chemicals because we're talking about all that serotonin and dopamine that was released last night when Lady Gaga was revealed on the Super Bowl halftime stage. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about some more personal chemical stuff today.
And while we're like switching gears, yeah. We're like right in the middle, I'm never really bad about doing this. If you're just tuning in, this is Katie and Kay. There is this chemical world. I'm Kenna Crampton, and here with Mugsy Fay. Continue.
And for those of you who are regular Chemical World listeners, or maybe you're just tuning in, or maybe you don't like this show and you bear with it till the next thing that comes on, appreciate you the most. But, you know, I feel like a lot of the feedback that we get on the show, and part of why we've kept doing it year after year, is because people are really grateful for the personal stories. People really resonate with it, and people are really, impressed with our willingness to share these pretty intimate details of our personal lives. And, you know, I'm kind of an open book, and I feel like by role modeling that openness, you know, that can encourage other people to hopefully talk about whatever is going on with them, whether that be to a therapist or a friend or a family member or the wall or a journal, you know, whatever that looks like. I, you know, am very grateful and take that responsibility fairly seriously that people enjoy these conversations. So I wanted to talk about some personal stuff happening with me and chemicals in the world. Congratulations, by the way, Kenna, on achieving 7 years of sobriety a few months ago. I don't remember if I called out in our December show, but congrats
on your time. Sobriety from alcohol, yes.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
Well, and I just feel like in the context of what you're about to say, I do think it is important to say, like, because I was just thinking as you were talking that, why don't you go ahead and say your part, and I'm just going to say yes. Sober from alcohol for 7 years.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, congratulations on your time, and thanks for sharing that with us. And yeah, I think it's like exactly today would have been my 7th year of sobriety from alcohol, but it's not, because I decided about 6 months ago to, you know, in some people's verbiage, fall off the wagon. But it didn't feel like a fall. It didn't feel like a relapse. You know,
feel like a stepping off intentionally.
Yeah.
At a stop.
Yeah. Like very much like, oh, you know, I see this stop up here. I wasn't like, when I started this ride, I wasn't planning on getting off here. I was actually planning on getting off 6 stops before this when I first quit drinking. You know, what's funny, I remember telling a therapist when I, because when I quit drinking, I actually did like quit a lot of things at the same time and was trying to be as sober as possible, but I still had caffeine, I still had nicotine. And I remember saying to a therapist, like, I want to not drink for a year, but I want to never smoke weed again. Because for me, weed is really the drug that I've always had the hardest time exerting any kind of control over. I've done, you know, sober Octobers and dry spells and things like that. But so the irony there, I guess, is that I started smoking weed again 6 months into my sobriety. But I went 6.5 years without drinking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my recovery world, I talk a lot about, and I think that this is an ongoing conversation, and that's it's becoming kind of more and more part of like the normal parts of conversations around recovery is, you know, getting sober, whether it's from everything or from certain things, can really help you for, and this was my experience and kind of why I wanted to get sober, because it can really help you deal with the other stuff, the other mm-hmm. mental health mm-hmm. stuff, right? So like,
yeah, something that people always say is like, you can, you know, quit drinking, but that doesn't actually change the trauma that maybe happened that made you maybe start picking up the bottle more than maybe coping with it in another way.
Absolutely. And, you know, we use drugs and alcohol as coping methods as and because they're excellent disassociatives, right? And we can disassociate from all that's going on in our lives. But it's like when we push those emotions down and down and down, however we do it, through drugs and alcohol, through exercising, through, you know, workaholism, whatever that looks like, we're just pushing the problem down. And I know for me, usually the more and more I push the problem down, the bigger the explosion is going to be later. And also the more inappropriate the explosion is going to be
yeah.
if I don't talk about my feelings as they're boiling up, you know. So I wanted to quit drinking because I realized that it was not helping me deal with my chronic PTSD. It was not helping me have better interpersonal relationships. And these are things I really wanted to work on. And 6.5 years of sobriety from alcohol, I mean, it's funny because I can see it. Like, I could easily fall back into old habits, but it's like I've changed those pathways. Like, mm-hmm. I've changed my relationship with alcohol. And so while I could see, like, it could turn back into, you know, drinking beer, like, and I mean, for me, that means like drinking a few beers every night, which is not where I want to be, and maybe, you know, getting really drunk at the bar once a month or every couple times, also not where I really want to be. I want to be able to drink in celebration, mm-hmm. not because I'm exhausted at the end of the day and need that coping mechanism. The weed definitely does that for me, and would love to move away from that eventually still. But, you know, yeah, I don't want to be drinking because I'm sad or because I'm angry, but I want to be able to have that glass of champagne at a wedding or have that celebratory glass of wine or beer after, you know, a big life moment.
Or taste that scotch that people are like, oh my God, you have to taste this. And just even if it's just one taste.
Yeah, or like try things.
I always have to smell. I'm, oh man, I will always, oh, I love it, smell the smell of it. So yeah, anyway, sorry.
Well, and I think, I mean, and I've said I know I could build my, you know, taste or tolerance for stuff back up again. I despise the way alcohol tastes. It all just tastes like alcohol to me, which is like not super great. So I'm like, I can taste, you know, the notes of juniper or whatever, but I'm like, it all just tastes like burn to me.
yeah.
And I want to keep that. I want to keep that going of the like, yeah, I can quote unquote enjoy this, but I don't actually like love it, you know? And I feel like for me, that's like a healthy place to be. And so, you know, I wanted to share that with folks. It took me a while before I intentionally made this decision to quit drinking. It was a very personal, purposeful, and independent choice. And I felt like it really had to be about me because my recovery, my substance use, my sobriety, it's not about anyone but me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, part of people put all their ideas and projections, right? And, part of my experience has been, you know, I run this company and the whole goal is to support people and help people who have a history of substance use be the healthiest, happiest versions of themselves. But being sober and working in that field has really convoluted and confused my personal experience with my professional experience. And I've had doctors kind of treat me like I was a drug addict because of the work I do without ever asking me what my drug use history is or like what my actual personal experience is. And so I just really needed to kind of, you know, take control of my own life and self a little bit. And for me, it's kind of untangling the way that my career has kind of snowballed into this definition of who I am, because I don't want to be defined by my experiences growing up. And I don't want to be defined by the chemicals that I put into my body. And I don't want to be defined by my career or how I help people. And I think, you know, it's just interesting how a lot of people kind of just assume that I'm in recovery because of the work that I do. or assume that I have like this really negative drug history because of the work that I do. But the bottom line was I just wanted to give it time because I am so grateful to live in this community where we all know everybody's business and we all care about each other. And so I didn't want people to see me at the bar drinking and be worried about me and think that there was something wrong or that I was in this deep downward spiral or relapse. And I'm pretty sure that everyone who's seen me out there drinking knows that that's not the case. And I'm like, I'll have maybe one little drink and then I'll be on my way. But I just, you know, it was an uncomfortable thing for me too when I was drinking and didn't tell anybody. And so I just wanted to share that with you, the listeners, my friends, my family, my community.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we all really appreciate the honesty. I think that is something that, I mean, and we've talked about, you know, just one of the reasons why we both have chosen harm reduction as a way of going through our recovery. And again, like I wanted to harp on the, you know, in recovery, I'm in recovery from alcohol abuse, you know, and making it clear about how, like, you're still on a recovery journey. You know, it doesn't mean that, like, you're not, like you said, you stepped off of one wagon, you know, to continue on your journey. You know, of course, everybody, the word journey is, you know, whatever, but sometimes that's the only word you can use. So I think it makes sense in the way of, like, we all have a different path, you know, and it just depends on which way you choose to go. You know, I think why I chose not to go to AA, for example, is because that binary of either you can drink or you can't drink, us and them, we are addicts, you're not, you know, this whole thing. It's so nuanced that, like, you know, I personally take psychedelics recreationally when I want to. I consume, you know, cannabis when I want to. And again, when we've talked about this too, like, I think my relationship with cannabis isn't necessarily the healthiest, but it hasn't ruined my life the way that my relationship with alcohol was. And the way that, and the amount that alcohol has taken from me personally, my life, you know, has been a lot, you know, with it, you know, my dad and everything. I just think it's so important that we all make the decision of what works the best for our life and our brains and the chemicals flowing through them. And it's just, you know, that binary is just never helps anybody, you know. And I, you know, when you were saying, like, I don't want to be defined by, you know, my job and whatever, it's like, yeah, just like people don't want to be defined by their sexuality, you know, and because it is so nuanced. And, you know, and like that nuance has scared people because it's because there's been this binary put on us. And it's just not the reality of life. Nuances life. And so it's just really important, and I think it's really special for you to share that, because, you know, whatever your recovery journey looks like, you know, you out there, the listener, it doesn't matter where you are, you know, there's hope.
Thank you for that. And I don't know if I actually finished this thought earlier, but my point earlier about getting sober and not being enough, right? Like, you can get sober from whatever substance is causing you, you know, the most issue, whatever that looks like. But getting sober doesn't fix the problem. You still have to do the work. And I feel like that's kind of a problem with the abstinence-based 12-step model is, and I mean, this is healthcare in general, right? There's not as much focus on the actual therapeutic part. It's just like how antidepressants are really only clinically proven to be effective with therapy. The drugs or the therapy alone really might not do enough. The being sober, it just gets you to that space where you can deal with the stuff with a clear head, but it doesn't deal with it for you, right? And drugs, you know, to your point, like, all drugs have a lot of benefits and a lot of potential risks. And it's just unfortunate that we have to self-medicate because it's so expensive to access the right healthcare or to access the right medications. And, you know, women's health especially, it's really hard to be taken seriously. But yeah, like, recovery is such a broad thing, and that's kind of the beauty of it, right? Like, and I'm in recovery from post-traumatic stress and just, you know, a lot of bad
complex stuff. And you did mention earlier, just like complex PTSD is a whole nother animal than PTSD. So I just like kind of want to like just put that out there. You're dealing with like it's a lot. So,
and part of, you know, my recovery journey is also realizing that like that doesn't give me the right to be crappy to people. Mm-hmm. Like we're all going through it all the time. And sure, I could be like, oh, I was tired, or oh, I'm burnt out, or oh, I was having a bad day, or oh, my, you know, family member just died or whatever. But it's like we're all going through those things all the time. And so on one side, that's like giving people grace. But also it's like checking myself, because it doesn't matter what I'm going through. That doesn't really excuse me from treating other people badly. And that's been that was the whole catalyst of my recovery from CPTSD, from whatever, right, was that I realized it was really hurting my close relationships. Yeah. And I wanted to be able to show up for my friends and show up for my family and show up for my romantic partners in a way that I hadn't been able to before.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've learned a lot. And think about the AA preamble. They say, to those who can drink, we salute you.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And my salute to you. Unfortunately, we do have to wrap it up. I didn't know if you needed to. We have 1 minute.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah. Thanks for listening to my personal stuff. We'll talk more, or talk to me on the streets. I just wanted to let y'all know that High Rockies Harm Reduction does have a couple events coming up this month. Next Wednesday, the 18th, we will be hosting our services at the Rifle Library in the upstairs community room from 4 to 6 p.m. And we will be there every third Wednesday evening moving forward. So we're excited to come back to all of our regular services next month, but until then, we do have that rifle date, and I will also be hosting a public Narcan training and special conversation night with Mountain Youth at the Edwards CMC next Thursday, February 19th, from 5:30 to 7:00. So you can find out more information about those events and our services at highrockiesharmreduction.com, and you can reach out to me at mugsy@highrockiesharmreduction.com anytime with any questions, comments, concerns, or complaints. If you have complaints, that's my favorite. I would love to have an in-depth conversation with anyone who has complaints about anything we've talked about today or on any episode of Chemical World, because diversity is the spice of life.
That is right. And thank you all for listening. And to listen to past episodes of Chemical World or to donate to Katie and Kay, you can go to katieandkay.org. And we will be on next month at 4 p.m. on March 9th. So stay tuned. And thank you for listening. And remember, you don't have to be sober
to keep your community clean.
Yay!
What's important is being safe and stopping the spread of disease. You do not have to be sober to keep your community clean.